I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, John the Baptist is in prison, and he has a crisis of confidence, and he sends a message. Are you the one? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else? He's unsure. It's the one who, you will recall, miraculously leapt in the womb when he first met Jesus. This is the one who pointed him out as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. This is the one who said, after me comes one the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. Now he's unsure. It's a crisis of confidence. He's been thrown into prison and shortly to be put to death. It's understandable that John feels he needs to check that it's all been worthwhile. Well, I wonder whether you've ever been unsure about your faith, whether you've ever had a crisis of confidence, whether you've ever been disappointed at the message of Christmas. I've been looking through volumes of poetry this week, trying to find a poem suitable for our Nine Lessons and Carols service next Sunday, and I found one by Thomas Hardy entitled Christmas 1924 that goes like this. Peace upon earth was said, we sing it, and pay a million priests to bring it. After 2,000 years of mass, we've got as far as poison gas. Perhaps not quite the right choice for carol service this year, but it is important for us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God as well about our disappointments. It's the lesson of the Psalms. Face up to your fears and your struggles and your anxieties and express them to God, your loving Father. He can take it. And where Christmas is concerned, I guess that could mean several layers of anxiety and disappointment to be expressed. Now, I pray these things aren't true for you, but it may just be that you end up being disappointed with your family this Christmas. 'Tis the season to be jolly. 'Tis the season to be merry, we're told. But are all geared up. They expect a 25% rise in couples making a first appointment with them by mid-January. The Samaritans take 17% more calls than usual at this time of year. 22% of people, when asked, say they find Christmas just thoroughly stressful. And that goes up to 70% if you just ask people aged under 45. So maybe it's not all going to be sweetness and light. Maybe we'll end up being disappointed with our families at Christmas. If so, there's nothing unusual about that. Maybe we'll be disappointed with our food at Christmas. I guarantee that the gyms of Horsham will be full by January. Certainly the after effects of the food. The streets will be jammed with joggers. You've probably already got out your gym membership and working out whether you can afford that on top of everything else. Maybe you'll end up being disappointed with your presents this Christmas, and children who are here need to put their hands over their ears because they won't be at all. Last year, £2 million of unwanted Christmas presents were on eBay by Boxing Day. And that's not counting the ones that you and I kept back in order to recycle this year and probably just sent off at the moment. It's always the danger, of course, being that you might send it back to the same person who sent it to you this year. You need a Jebs in your life who keeps a very careful list of who they've come from in the first place. Maybe you'll be disappointed, actually, with the impact of the Christmas story. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. A man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. So far in this sermon, so bar humbug. But it gets worse. John's gospel implies in his version of the nativity that even God himself was disappointed at the first Christmas. The true light was coming into the world, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But, and that but is perhaps the most important word in John's famous prologue to his gospel. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else? And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." No disappointment at Christmas for the shepherds. No disappointment for Mary and Joseph. No disappointment, absolutely, for the sick, for the oppressed and the poor. There was a wonderfully striking phrase in our Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah 35. "Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God." It's a striking phrase. Don't fear, God is coming with vengeance. You might think that's something actually worthy of being afraid of, God coming with vengeance. Don't be afraid. Don't fear, God is coming with vengeance. Because what he's coming with vengeance against is not you. It's against all that oppresses you, all that deprives you, all that frustrates you. That's what justice feels like to the poor. It is the vengeance of God that comes to release them. He will come and save you. Isaiah promises exactly what John needs to be reassured has indeed come in Jesus. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. No disappointment whatsoever to all who receive him and become the children of God. We don't mumble our liturgy, even in Advent, because we're all depressed. No, we rejoice. Again and again the words come in the hymns that we have sung. This is a time for lifting our heads and giving glory to our coming King. "Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife," bids the carol, "and hear the angels sing." We need to preach this gospel to ourselves, every one of us. No disappointment whatsoever to all who receive him and become the children of God. Well, I read a sad Christmas poem earlier in this sermon, and I finished with another. Well, it starts sad. It was part of one of the school carol services here this week, and the first few verses are pretty depressing. But then the messenger comes by the last verse, just like the messengers came to John, who was disappointed by what had happened, and even in prison needed to be reassured of the good news. The good news comes in the last verse. This poem is called "We Won't Have a Christmas This Year." It's by Werner S. Tuwissen, who I guess is probably Dutch. "We won't have a Christmas this year, you say, for now the children have all gone away, and the house is so lonely, so quiet and so bare. We couldn't have a Christmas that they didn't share. We won't have a Christmas this year, you sigh, for Christmas means things that money must buy. Misfortunes and illness have robbed us, we fear, of the things that we'd need to make Christmas this year. We won't have a Christmas this year, you weep, for a loved one is gone, and our grief is too deep. it will be a long time before our hearts heal and the spirit of Christmas again we can feel. But if you lose Christmas when troubles befall, you never have really had Christmas at all. For once you have had it, it cannot depart. When you learn that true Christmas is Christ in your heart, may you learn and receive the true Christmas message. May you and your loved ones have no disappointment this Christmas as you celebrate, despite everything perhaps, the greatest gift of all. Indeed, may you have immense joy, knowing, as one bishop has put it, the Son of God has become the Son of Man so that the children of men might become the children of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.